everyone, welcome to another episode of First Impressions, a show where we kind of get into new games coming out. We haven't done one of these in a while. Well, I guess Barrett did one for SpongeBob, but it's been a while, bless, and we are here with a new game from Ubisoft. My name is Andy Cortez. I am joined by Blessing Adioye Jr. at Blessing Jr. on Twitter.
Andy, I like our dynamic duo because I feel like we join together whenever it's these type of games, right? Like, yeah. We came together with Bleeding Edge. We did the whole first impressions for that, which was fantastic.
And we dove into that game at least 200 hours, right? We put it like 200 exactly. hours into Bleeding Edge.
Exactly.
And we're here with another game that hopes to not go the way of Crucible by Amazon Game Studios.
Oh, yeah.
This is a new Battle Royale, but based on some of the video, not fully Battle Royale. I don't really know what the fuck's going on with this game.
How much do you know about this game? Because to give people context, this is a Ubisoft Battle Royale game called Hyperscape that, as of the time you are watching this video, they have just announced. They have just revealed. The world now knows about Hyperscape. It's been kind of leaked here and there, but now we can finally talk about it. I played about 4 hours of this game. It was me, Khalif Adams, Michael Hyam from GameSpot. We teamed up and we took on the world in a pre-release version of Hyperscape. And so I'm here to talk about it. Andy, how much do you know about it?
I kind of know jack all, except for what I've seen from these videos. I've obviously some leaks started coming out. I was invited to go to this event that you went to, but we had a scheduling conflict. So unfortunately, I couldn't be there, even though I love my first person shooters and I love my battle royales. So this is Hyperscape right here.
Yes.
And it's made by Ubisoft Montreal, who worked on some Rainbow Six Siege. They've worked on some Far Cry games. But what's immediately blessed, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, where's the radar? Where's the circle?
Okay. So that's okay. So there's a lot to dive in here. And so there is not a circle in this game. The thing that I'm going to rewind all the way back and give some...
Rewind,
some
dude. Let's take it to the start of Yves Guillemot starting off Ubisoft.
So, one day, Yves Guillemot woke up and he was like, I want to get into the games industry and start my own company.
I want to get into this stuff.
So, Hyperscape is a game coming out for PC, Xbox One, and PS4. This might be the shocker. In summer 2020, this game is imminent. It's about to come out this season. The premise of this battle royale is it takes place in the world or in the year 2054. This company named Prisma Dimensions, which you might have heard the name because I think that might have been their like working title or something along those lines.
I think that's kind of like when you like the sort of guerrilla marketing tactics that they do where they're like, oh, Prisma Studio or whatever the fuck. Yeah, I love when games do that.
And so Prisma Dimensions is basically a company in 2054 that has created this thing called the Hyperscape. And what that is basically the internet of the future. It is this virtual world that you kind of jack into, and people essentially use it for the same things that we use the internet for, right? People use it to study, people use it to learn, people use it to hang out. And then you have...
Just jerking it, dude. Yeah.
Just jerking it, you know, into the future. Mm-hmm. And then you have what we're looking at right here, right? This battle royale, which I believe is called Crown Rush in the Hyperscape. And so it is a 99-person battle royale in this virtual world. And basically, to get back to the no circle thing, basically it takes place within this city that has a bunch of different districts. And instead of a circle, what they have is each of the districts essentially decay. And so you'll have, and I'm sure it'll come up in the video at some point. Basically, you'll look around and see that the buildings are being taken over by these triangles.
That was a great snipe by you. Great snipe.
Oh yeah. Of course, this is all
this
my.
This is all Blessing playing.
This is all me playing. I'm joking. This is not me playing because I tried to capture my gameplay and my laptop could not run both OBS trying to capture that stuff and the game. And so this is Ubisoft gameplay that they sent over to press. And so shout out to Ubisoft for that. The different areas essentially are decaying one at a time, and so that's how people are being brought together in this space. And so I don't even know where to start with this game, because I think for me, when they're giving the presentation in this game, when I first started seeing the gameplay, my mind immediately went to, oh, they're trying to take on Apex Legends. Like that to me was the first thing that popped in my mind, because it seems fast paced, it is first person. It is somewhat like arcadey. The thing I will say about Hyperscape is that as far as Battle Royale games go, Hyperscape seems to me to be the most arena battle royale that I've played. It has a lot of Unreal Tournament vibes. It has a lot of like a lot of arcadey vibes. It's very fast paced. It is very vertical. You are kind of all over the place. You can see in the gameplay right now, right? Like, these guys on the roof, they're shooting at somebody that was flying through the air or jumping through the air. You have a double jump. I mean, at times you can have a triple jump.
That's fantastic.
You're all over the place in this game.
Yeah, obviously, like, mobility seems to play a huge factor in this. Just immediate, like, there's not going to be a whole lot of, let me stay on this roof and hope that they don't come find me.
Yeah,
this looks like you are constantly in the action.
It is like the opposite of PUBG, where I remember when PUBG came out and there's always those jokes of people sitting in a bathtub just waiting for the footsteps to go by.
Quiet.
Just
waiting for people to come through. Yeah,
it's quiet. And it's like, it almost feels like more of like a horror game kind of feel in a game like PUBG. Hyperscape, you are moving at all times. Like, I rarely found it suitable for me to stay still and hide in a spot because things were always kind of moving. A big thing in this game as far as how weapons work. So at all times, you can hold up to two weapons. You spawn with a melee weapon, and you can collect weapons as you play. You have Gatling guns. You have, I guess, regular assault rifles, pistols, all like the assortment of guns that you would expect. The interesting twist, I would say, to this game is with those guns, you don't collect attachments. Instead, you fuse guns. And so what that means is, say I have the Ripper, which is an assault rifle. If I have a Ripper, as I'm playing, and this is, by the way, the decay I'm talking about, you see the triangles that are popping up in this map right here. That means
I'm getting a lot of Splitgate vibes by this game too. Did you play Splitgate?
Is that the Portal one?
The Splitgate Arena Warfare? Halo one. Yeah.
I played a bit of Splitgate.
Movement wise and stuff like this, and even aesthetic. I love how simplistic it is, even though it's very sci-fi looking. I love how you can tell it's going to stream really well, where something like Call of Duty with a lot of foliage starts to like really break down when it gets really noisy and shit like that. I feel like this is going to stream really well, just movement wise. But back to the weapons fusing.
Yeah, we'll get to streaming in a second, because that's going to play a huge part, and I think you might enjoy some of the Twitch integration that they have in the game. But back to the weapons, right? Say I have a Ripper, and the Ripper's an assault rifle. As I'm going through the map, as I'm finding new weapons, if I find another Ripper, another one of the same gun that I have, I can then fuse it, and that will then upgrade my gun to the next level. The guns can upgrade about, I think, four levels. And so the first, and this is, I don't know, like, exactly what order it is for each gun, but say my first upgrade for my first fusion upgrade will be, all right, cool, more mag capacity for my gun. The next one will be, okay, higher damage. And the next one will be something along those lines. And so I'm upgrading my guns that way. They also have packs, which are these special abilities. And so in the same way that you can carry two guns, you can also carry two hacks. And think kind of like Apex, where Lifeline has her healing drone and Bloodhound has their scan.
Yeah.
Basically, instead of those abilities being tied to characters, those abilities are pickups that you find in the map, and you can hold two at a time. And so, and you can find, say, a healing hack in the world, and that is now assigned to your left bumper. And you can also find a invisibility hack in the world, and that'll be assigned to your right bumper. You can assign that either way you want, but you can carry two, and you can essentially mix and match in that way. And so, and you can also fuse them in the same way you can fuse weapons. And so, say I find an invisibility hack, which will give me the invisibility ability. If I find another one, that'll then either better my cooldown on that hack, or it'll allow me to stay invisible for longer, or different things along those lines.
Gotcha.
And so,
what was this rolling ball business? What's this rolling ball business?
That ball is another hack. And basically, I didn't really like it when I played, when I tried out the ball. Though other people who I've been talking to, who've also played the game, said that they were really digging the ball. The ball essentially allows you to help. The ball helps you get out of those sticky situations better.
Got it.
And so it makes you quicker. You're able to like bounce away. I think it also shields you quite a bit. And so you're able to take less damage, but it's kind of clumsy to control, which is why I wasn't liking it. But yeah, there's some use in the ball that way. And then I'm trying to think of other hacks there were. There's teleport, which is kind of like a Dishonored kind of like teleport. Not too much like it, but it's in
like
the
a
same
blink.
Vein of like a blink, like you aim and you essentially teleport to where you go.
I think we just saw that here at the end. A character kind of looked up and just did it. Where is it? Right here, I believe. Sort of that thing?
Yes. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They
yeah,
were
yeah.
kind of like shifting forward, like a tracer.
Exactly.
Like tracer. Exa-
like a
ability.
Tracer. Tracer would probably Got be the it. Best way to describe it, except it's a little bit more aimed than tracer, but because you can go into the air with it and all that stuff. And that's where verticality kind of comes back into play.
So I didn't really notice, but when the city is decaying and you're indoors, it's noticeable, I'm presuming?
Yes.
Like
yeah,
the walls down. Start changing colors because that effect looks incredible.
Yeah, and it's honestly it's kind of stress-inducing when the world is decaying kind of a complaint I have because without the circle you kind of don't know which way to go, and without like a mini map you can pull up a map like a full screen map, and so that's the thing that can kind of help. But yeah, as you're playing, right, if you're trying to like if you're in the thick of it and you look around and things are decaying, you're kind of like, oh shoot, which way do I go? And it was for me when I was playing up to me and my teammates to communicate, and for Michael or Khalif to be like, hey, I'm gonna open up the map and I'm gonna mark an argument, I'm gonna ping, because this game has a ping system just like Apex, I'm gonna ping here so we can all make our way towards this area, because this area over here isn't decaying, so let's go here.
I see the two weapons. I see the reveal ability, which is sort of that bloodhound scan that you're mentioning. The teleport, which is sort of that blink. What I'm confused about is these people seem to be in the decay, but their life, is it going down?
So the decay doesn't deplete your life. What it does is basically it collapses that district. And so when you start seeing those triangles, when you start seeing the decay, that then means that you have a limited time to be there before the floors leave, by the way, or the floors like disappear.
Got it. Okay.
And so if you stay in the decayed area, that means that imminently you're going to fall off the map. That's basically what it is.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's cool.
I'm trying to think of where to go from here.
I like that more than damage, than a damage sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think that also helps out with the quickness of it. Like, everything kind of feels chaotic in a way that uplifts the whole chaotic nature of this game. Because this game is way more chaotic than any other Battle Royale game I've played. And speaking of that, so, like any other Battle Royale game, right? It's 99 players, 3 players to a team. I guess that's not like any other one, but... like any other one, you are trying to be the last team standing. And in this game, they've added an extra element that... So the mode is called Crown Rush. And the reason it's called that is because when you are winding down to the final teams, there will be a crown that appears on the map. And basically what you want to do is you want to get that crown... And if you hold that crown for 45 seconds, your team wins. Or if you become the last team standing, your team wins. What happens, though, when you get that crown, when things are winding down, if you grab the crown, because it appears on your map, if you grab it, and I think it also appears as like a pop-up on the screen. If you
like
grab it...
Like a HUD element or something like that?
Yeah, like a HUD element. If you grab it, you're then revealed to all the other players. And so it is kind of this game of like, all right, should we go for the crown because we'll be revealed for everybody? Or like, should we wait for somebody else to get the crown so we can kill them and then take it from them? But the crown is basically the thing that is bringing everybody together in those final moments to battle it out. And that's where I saw the most chaos in the game. And that was almost like a love it slash hate it kind of thing, because on one hand, I think it is a fun kind of game to play of, can I stay alive for 45 seconds when I'm holding this thing? On the other hand, when it came down to that, when we were playing, dude, it was fireworks. Like, it was chaos everywhere. In a way where it almost felt like too much. Like, you almost feel like you're just shooting around trying to make sure that you are trying to stay alive.
In hopes that something makes contact with another player.
Yeah.
So Call of Duty has a similar, you know, on the ground, how you in Warzone, you can pick up scavenger missions, or you can pick up contracts and shit like that. Call of Duty now has a thing where it's a crown, and you pick it up, and you are revealed to everybody on the map. And if you survive for 3 minutes, I believe, or 2.5 minutes or something like that, you get a buttload of money. But in here, I guess the reward is you just win if you hold onto the crown.
Yeah, because the crown only appears toward the end of the match. So if you can hold on to it, that determines you as the winner.
Gotcha.
And you were going to mention
Twitch integration?
Yes. And so that was the next thing I was going to mention. And so you have these in-game events that happen also. And I believe it's district-based. I believe it's based on which district you're in when these events happen. essentially, if you're hanging out in a district, a thing will pop up and go, hey, we are starting, and this is very Darwin Project, if you play Darwin Project.
I saw several players, several Let's Players.
There are things that'll pop up and be like, all right, the low gravity event is starting. What that means is that there's low gravity. You can now jump really high, or the triple jump event is happening where now everybody has an extra jump, or the healing event is happening where now everybody just gets automatic heals out of nowhere. Things like that happen. And the interesting thing about that, and the interesting thing about what they're doing in general with Twitch, is that is integrated with Twitch in a way where if you're watching with an audience, the audience can then vote on what event they want to happen next. And so you have that. You also have other Twitch integration aspects like squad invite, where as a streamer, it's basically, and this is the way they describe it, I don't know if it's actually going to play out like this when the game actually comes out, but you can essentially drag and drop people from your stream to come join your squad in-game. Because they work directly with Twitch to make this stuff happen, make this stuff seamless.
That's crazy. That's cool.
Yeah. Which sounds cool. You have a faster battle pass progression and quite a few things like that. Like, it seems like they're going really hard. There's also a battle pass. Yeah. So they're going really hard.
Is it cosmetics? Is it weapons?
I'm not sure all the stuff that comes in it. I believe it is. I think it's a lot of cosmetic stuff. You have different champions in the game, and the only difference with the champions is cosmetic. So like, there's no abilities attached to the champions you're using, but you can unlock new champions. And that's I didn't really get a good sense of all the stuff that comes with that. But you know, there is a battle pass there.
This seems cool as shit. I think it's, you know, sort of setting itself apart from a lot of other battle royals with how arena like it is.
Yes.
Which I think is awesome. It's not really reminding me of any other BR we've seen so far. A lot of the movement reminds me of Cliffy B's game, the one that Alex Van Aken.
Oh, Lawbreakers.
Yeah, like a lot of the movement and the low gravity stuff, I get a lot of Lawbreaker vibes. Especially there's a moment where I probably won't be able to find it, but there's a moment where a guy's just chasing a dude down and the other guy blinks up over a building and then he blinks up over that building as well, and that fast frenetic shit is so awesome looking, and it seems a lot more different than what we've seen so far, which I hope it'll lead to some sort of success for Ubisoft, for some sort of success, just because it's so hard to find that market now, man. It's so hard for games like these to break through with how popular, you know, Overwatch still is, and Warzone, and Fortnite
this
is still
one,
crazy, you know?
This one, I think, is I'm very curious to see the space this one carves out for itself, because as I was playing it, like, I had complaints here and there about it. Like, I didn't necessarily love how the shooting felt, and I think part of that was I just needed to play it a lot more. It is, because people are so mobile, it feels like it's impossible to keep up with where people are at and trying to aim at people. But
is that a console
that
thing?
It's coming to, it's so I played on PC with an Xbox controller, which might have been the issue I was having. It is coming to consoles though, and so I'm excited to try it out on console to see, because it's coming to PS4, it's coming to Xbox One, as well as PC.
Crossplay?
Is it crossplay? I didn't ask. I don't know if it's crossplay. I should have asked that. That actually would have been a good question. Another big thing, and probably the other big thing I'm going to mention about this game, the revive system. It's very different and very cool, and also adds a lot to the chaos. And so basically, when you die in the game, you become an echo, which means that you can still run around the map and scout for your teammates. You're basically like a ghost
cool.
of yourself, which is really cool. The way that you get revived is if your teammate, or not even if your teammate, whenever somebody else dies in the game, their death spot becomes a revive point. And so you, as your ghost, whenever somebody else dies, you can run to the spot where they died, and you basically go there, you set yourself up by pressing square, and then a teammate that you have that's alive can come get you and then respawn you that way.
Gotcha.
And so you are very much incentivized to take out other people in order to revive your teammates. And so it is very very much an offensive game. It is very much you gotta fight, because fighting
Don't
is the way you're gonna win.
Yeah,
don't sit back. And like, dude, there were matches where I played where I was able to get back my teammates maybe six or seven times like it is very much a rotation with that stuff. That like when you die, you don't want to hop out. When you die, you don't want to leave the match, because one, you're still useful by scouting for your teammates, but then also it is very likely that you can respawn in this game, like more so than even in Apex. Like this game very much encourages respawning and getting your teammates back.
What's kind of blowing me away is just how obviously this video is switching between different perspectives, and they're probably switching to, you know, the one that's active and having, you know, the most action and stuff. But this video is obviously super intense, and there's a lot of action everywhere, and there's only 15 people on this map. There's going to be 100 people on this map.
Yeah, that's another thing. When I was playing, I don't know if I even played a match that had close to 100 people, because we're playing in like a closed environment because we're press and stuff. And so when matches actually have 100 people, I'm excited to see how that plays out. And also, I should say, I think when we were playing too, I think because we had less people, it started off with districts already closed. And so that way, like, the maps didn't feel as, empty.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that helped a lot. But yeah, when you're playing full matches with 99 other people, I'm excited for it. Like, this game seems like it's going to be fun. And I believe, I should know this for sure before I say it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be free to play also. And so
I think it is free to play. I think I saw that. I saw a bunch of outlets reporting that. All right, so, Bless. Well, thank you for, thank you for going out there into the battlefield and fragging.
Dude, thanks for having me. We should stream this game at some point.
First off, who did the best, you, Michael, or Khalif?
Khalif did the best for sure. Khalif killed it, followed by Michael, followed by me.
A lot of that veteran presence from Khalif. Yeah,
I will say though, I was a survivor in the ways that Khalif got the most kills for sure, but I was surviving the longest. That's what I'll say, because I was hopping around, I was teleporting all over the place, I was going invisible, I was playing the coward's game, and honestly, that's a valid way to play this game. And so, that's all I'll say.
Well, I look forward to getting out there in this battlefield with you. Twitch.tv/BlessingJr. and Blessing Jr. on Twitter. You can find me, Maximum Cortez, on Twitter. I am Andy Cortez on Twitch. Thanks for joining us, guys. Let us know what you think about Hyperscape in the comments. I really hope it doesn't go the way of that damn Crucible game, because that's such a weird heartbreaker.
I don't think it will, man. I think this will be, at the very least, somewhat successful.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think it's an Apex killer. I don't think it's going to be the number one battle royale. But I think it will find some success, because it is very fun.
All right. Well, thanks for watching, everybody. Have a great day. Let us know what you think. Comment, subscribe, click the bell for all the notifications. We love y'all. Have a good one.